Again, page 898. Okay, we spent time on this. Just review. Choskolai devechem var Hashem. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael that your words are very harsh. Va'amartem, and the Jewish people respond to this accusation. What are you talking about? Denial. Va'amartem, you say back to me, ma nidbarnu olach. What are you talking about? What have we possibly done? What have we said? So Hashem responds with two psukim. Number one, Hashem says, "Amartem shav avoid elokim." First thing you say to me is that we will translate the review as what the Mitzvah of it said is that you say that Hashem, that I Hashem, I get nothing out of this. When it says shav avoid elokim, it's interesting that the Mitzvah of it he translates these words from the perspective of Hashem. That Hashem is saying, I get nothing out of it, that Hashem gets nothing out of man's service. The next expression, Umabetza ki shamarnu mishmartoi, that is from our perspective, and we get nothing out of this.
That's what we're saying.
Right, that's how the Mitzvah learns. That everything is what we're saying. Hashem is responding with what we say. Did anyone actually say these words? Not necessarily, but Hashem, who's Yoreid, who descends into the innermost secret sections of a person's mind, is bringing out the words that the people are saying in their heart and mind. And the way the Mitzvah Stavit breaks this up is that the human being, it's the human condition. This is what a human being, every person has a little rebelliousness within. I once told you, I was shocked. I went to a rabbi Shur, many years ago, Rabbi Shur, Avraham Shur. And the room was pretty full, so it was a nice crowd. And he said, everyone here in this room has tainus against Hashem, has complaints against Hashem. It's not fair. If I would say this, you'd say that I'm not because he's a very holy rabbi. You know, he's right. Every person doesn't understand. It's impossible. It is impossible for a person to understand Hashem's ways. Hashem's approach is different, and we are instructed to have emuna, and it's impossible for a person to have complete emuna ad kedei kach, dealing with one in a million, ad kedei kach, to fully accept, because things in our little minds don't make sense. And here Hashem over here is actually saying this. He's saying this for us. You say, and the Mitzvah breaks it into two parts. We look at Hashem from his perspective, and we look at our service from our perspective. So we say that from your perspective, Hashem is apikorsis, but the Pasuk is telling us, Hashem, you get nothing out of our service. What do you gain by a person doing a mitzvah? Number two, what do we gain by doing a mitzvah?
Well, what's wrong with that? What does Hashem gain? I mean, he's the infinite, whatever. He's giving us the opportunity for us to gain.
So, yes, an excellent question. And that's why, if not for the Mitzvah stuff, I never would have thought about it like that. And I don't know the answer. I don't know. Obviously, the emphasis is Hashem gains nothing. That's our hashgaf. Hashem created this world in order to do chesed with us. Right. But yet the way, from the it appears, at least, from the way the Mitzvah stuff is learning the pasuk, is even though that is the absolute truth, but we have to do the mitzvot with an attitude, if this is what Hashem wants us to do, so doing his will is a satisfaction to Hashem. It's an impossible idea. The truth is Hashem gets nothing. But yet when we do the mitzvah, we have to, I don't know what the expression is, to make believe that Hashem does get something from it. That's an impossible statement. It doesn't make any sense.
But
Hashem has satisfaction. Hashem doesn't need any of this. Hashem is infinite. Our hashkaf is our kodesh baruch hu is infinite. He doesn't need any of this. So what then does the pasuk mean? He got a satisfaction. I don't know the answer, but the Torah does demand of us to view our service to Hashem the same way we serve a human being. And another human being needs us. If you have a job, you have an employer, the reason why he's paying you money, he employed you, is because he needs you. He needs you to do the job. He's not hiring you, giving you money for nothing. He needs your service.
Hashem doesn't need
our service. Hashem doesn't need our service. But yet Hashem demands that we serve Him. Obviously, I go in circles. Obviously, we, from our perspective, when we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way we can relate to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to make believe for the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to serve Him, and there is a benefit for Hashem in that we serve Hashem.
Well, He wrote, it's not as if I'm expressing Hashem in my way. God wrote the Torah. In other words, He dictated the words to Moshe. So, Vayarach Hashem Etzriach Anichoach are the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Right. So Hashem is actually making a statement and saying that I gained something.
Right.
But that's not true.
So I understand.
And we're going in circles.
Maybe it is true, which it needs to be true. It's we just don't understand that true.
Right.
We're so
only understand this world. I always say explain things.
Mind.
We have a three-dimensional world, and that's how we understand and see and perceive things. God's in a fourth dimension, or maybe
fifth
or sixth.
Yeah,
it's not wrong. It's we just can't.
We're limited. We are limited in our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not put us in this world to harm us. Hashem put us in this world, and like we always, He only gives a person a nisayon that he can handle, whatever that means. If Hashem put us to this world, he didn't put us here to torture us. He put us here in order to succeed. Hashem does not set us up for failure. In schools, a very big theme in chinuch, in the training teachers, is a cardinal sin to set up a student for failure. When you have a student in the class, you have to know what you're dealing with. And don't create a curriculum or an environment or a situation where there is absolutely no way a student will be able to succeed. A student has to be challenged, and if he applies himself, he will succeed. If he chooses to not apply himself and to be lazy, he will fail. But to set up a system, an environment, a situation where there's no way a person can succeed, that is not fair. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, He created a world. Hashem is infinite beyond infinite, and Hashem puts us in this world. We have emuna pshuta that Hashem did not put us here in this world to fail. Hashem did not set us up to fail. Hashem set us up with unique circumstances that are difficult, but if we apply ourselves, then we will succeed. This is the basic principles of Emunah. Even though if Hashem wants, Hashem is infinite, Hashem can bring about our failure in an instant. But we have Emunah Pshuta that Hashem is created this world to do with man chesed, and not to. Like we just said, not to set him up for failure. Okay, let's go further. Over here, so Hashem over here is saying over here, the way the Mitzvot of it says, the person looks at this world and he says, Hashem, you get nothing out of this. We get nothing out of this. The world laughs at us. Orthodox Jews in the 21st century observing Shabbos and davening three times a day, putting on tefillin, phylacteries, and doing all of these things. The world says the Jews are backwards people. It's all right here. You can't make this stuff up. V'chi halachnu kad ki do ranis b'nei Hashem tzavakos. Should we continue? What benefit is there for us when going, traveling in this world backwards? Because we want to serve Hashem. V'yata. And now, because this whole idea of service is ridiculous for three reasons, we have three arguments. The Pasuk is telling us three different arguments. Number one, Hashem gets nothing, we get nothing, and the world laughs at us. You know what? If you can't beat them, join them. We might as well join the opposition. The Atah now anachnu me'ashrim zeidim. We will praise. We will heap praise upon the wicked. Gam, and also Nivnu Oisei Risha. So we learned this yesterday. Nivnu means that we will build, we will contribute to the establishment of a corrupt society. Gam bochanu Elokim. I like. I think to translate this is we're also going to join those who insult Hashem. The ultimate way to insult a person is to test them, to challenge them, and we'll challenge. We will join the opposition who openly challenges Hashem and makes litzonos of Hashem. Look at society today. Look at society today. If you read the news with the curriculum that the government is in a vicious way trying to shove down the throat of the country. After they come with by their own admission, the FBI has basically sent undercover officers to school board meetings to observe any parent who opposes to teaching three-year-old children about the biggest averos in the Torah, and to basically intimidate them, threaten them. It's unbelievable. This is all a portion of Bochanu Elokim, to challenge Hashem. There's a Bible, and in the Bible, the Goyim also have something in the Bible for them. And in the Bible, it says there's Zay Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, which includes Gezel, includes arayos, includes murder, emunah b'Hashem. And today, these things, like, what are you talking about? Communism is gezel. That's really what it all is. To redistribute the wealth of other people. And Mishkav Zohar is the lowest form of arayos. It is, that's the fact. And it should be like pasha. This is how it should be. And abortion. And, okay, so everyone you want to split hairs and this halacha permits. You know, there's a lot to be said about everything. But with such an openness, we're living in very frightening times. This is all nichlal in what it says. Gam.
And that's why there's resistance. Massive resistance?
Halavai, there should be massive resistance.
You don't see it.
Halavai. It doesn't seem like the massive, the power of you.
That's because the deep
state. You're looking at the loudest voice, not as
empty cans make a lot of noise.
Just wait.
Halavai, Rebbe Chol, halavai, you should be right. This is all included in what it says, Gam Bochanu Elokim.
It seems like it is a Chariyah that likes this expression, Bochanu Nina Bazut.
Oh, he's playing right, he goes both ways. Excellent, beautiful idea. You have to write a sefer. He's saying that he's using the same language as a parallel in the language he uses. When he speaks about blessing, he says, And here, when he talks about the extreme opposite, the apikursus, Rachamana Litzlan, he's using the same words in a different way. Gam bochanu Elokim. You, the wicked, are challenging Hashem. Gam bochanu Elokim. You are challenging Hashem by Elokim. There's a movement in this world to openly challenge the norms of society, which is a society that is built upon the principles of Yiras Elokim. Okay, America, I mean, I'm not telling you that it's tzaddikim, these people who established America, the Western civilization, obviously is built on principles that are connected to Kultura Kula, but there are definitely elements of very religious, a very strong acknowledgement that there is a creator, there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. There's nothing to talk about. It doesn't say in God we trust on every piece of currency, every dollar bill, for nothing. There's something there. There are principles of chesed, the principles of emunah and yiras elokim. Listen, it's not our religion, this is not exactly a, you know, we know good and well we got this is not Yadus, but to go and challenge El Hashem in such a defiant way with such openness, it's frightening. And for us, for a Jew who is a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, to join this movement, This is exactly what it says here in the pasuk. Hashem over here is saying, I know that in your mind you are entertaining these thoughts. What does Hashem get out of this? What do we get out of it? The world looks at us as if we were backwards people, so we might as well join them, join the wicked. We might as well help them establish themselves, and we also should join in mocking and challenging the Ribbono Shel Olam. And here comes the top of the loaf. This is the cherry on the top. The cherry on the top. Less din, the less dayan. No accountability. Vayi mo leitu. To get away with it. To escape. To get away. Zero accountability. How could it be in this world? How could it be what happened? Go with all the politics. The whole Afghanistan. The whole world is utter shock. Utter shock. So was there one person in the entire government who lost their job, who lost the dollar from what happened in the withdrawal, the whole bizarreness? Not even one person. Not even one person was dismissed. Look, Facebook, I'm not sure I'm saying it's correct, but it seems that the last week Facebook went down for a couple of hours, right? The whole thing went down. So yeah, you can go online, there are conspiracy theories from... There are some very good, actually, conspiracy theories.
Yeah, they should come down.
The first thing they said,
Twitter
first thing they said, whatever happened for real is that basically they fired people, and they appointed their new people. Accountability.
Right.
Accountability. The word here vayimoleitu means you escape. There is no accountability. Less din, the less dayan. Okay. You live in a world where you have to do a job, and if you don't do the job, you're fired. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, there are requirements, and the person is.
The cheer, Abba. The morning cheer.
Okay, I'm over here. A person has instructions, and there are goals, and part of the drive to succeed is because if you do not succeed. There is accountability. So over here we have a whole sequence of words of apikorsis. Hashem gets nothing out of this. We get nothing out of this. The world mocks us. And we might as well join the wicked. And we should help establish the wicked. And then we should challenge Hashem. And this is the ultimate. The ultimate, the cherry on the top is the last word of this pasuk. Vayimoleitu. And get away with it. Get away with it, less din, the less dayan. A person, when you have a society where you have a complaint, you have a grievance, and there's no one to go to. There's no one to turn to. That's what we learned this week. We spoke about this. Chan bo si olecha. Anochi nasati shifchasi b'chaykecha. And v'chulu v'chulu yishbait Hashem b'ini u'b'inecha. When you're in a society where there's no one to turn to. There's no mishpat. That's the worst. That's the cherry on the top where it says here the word vayimoleitu. Now we did already the Mitzudas. We did already the Rashi. We did already. I'm a little confused. Did we do the Rashi over here? No, we didn't do the Rashi. We didn't do the Rashi, right? Let's just go do Rashi very quickly. Rashi very quickly. Shav pasuk yudal. Shav avoid elokim alchinam na avdenu. We serve you for nothing. Kiloy nekabul sochar. So Rashi over here learns not like the wind of this Rashi. Rashi learns not like the mitzvahs. Whereas the mitzvahs David said that this is said from the perspective of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gets nothing out of this. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that we shav avoid Elokim. We get nothing out of this.
No,
a very big difference between Rashi and the mitzvahs. A world of a difference between the two perushim. And the problem with Rashi, the difficulty with Rashi is that now we have repetition. If you're going to say over here, Shalal Finam Navadnu Kilei Nekabel Sochar, why then do we need the next expression? The next expression is just repetitious. Ma'betza ki shamarnu mishmartoi v'chiolachnu ki, what do we need that for? What is that coming to air that we really do not know? Bish loima, according to the Mitzvot David, the first expression is speaking to us from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gets nothing. And now we have no argument, we get nothing. But according to Rashi, that the first expression refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is the second expression, Uma Betza, Ki Shamanu Mishmarto, coming to it that we already have not learned in the first expression? I do not know. Now we come to the next word, Ki Doiranis B'Sheifel Ruach. This is not what Rashi, again, this is also different than Rashi, than the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas say, Lashon Shechach means to behachno. Shechach behachno, to humble oneself, to bend before, to bend. Now, he adds the word ruach, spirit. Okay, possibly it's the same idea, it's the same thing. It's what benefit do we get being depressed? Yeah. A Jew, yeah?
Or subjected to
anxious worry. Going around in anxious worry.
In anxious worry. Okay. So according, yeah, where we explained yesterday, according to Mr. Stubborn, is a person who's a religious Jew, you always have to take the punches. I'm not coming Friday in the winter. I'm sorry, I have to leave. If I have to leave at 3 o'clock, I have to leave. 3 o'clock? Who do you think you are? We're staying here until 10 o'clock. You get a shtech, you get a punch. News, so you have to take the punches. But you're proud. I'm a proud Jew. Good. I suffer for my religion. That's what it would seem that the Mitzvah stuff, it says. A Jew, but Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom. All of these rules. Oh, every time you have another excuse. Not so you get this. There's a list. You're a Jew. You have a big nose. You have this. You have this. All the insults. Nope. Good. Insult me all you want. Sticks and stones to break your bones. Names. What's the mignosuch?
Will never
harm me. Okay. So.
We already.
But I'm proud. I'm proud.
Quite true.
But according to Rashi, Rashi seems to say no. It affects you. It affects you. A Jew is meek. A Jew has been humbled. A Jew always has a sense of I'm a victim. You live with this complex, complex of a person who's been victimized. A Jew in Gaulis is always on the run.
But it's based on the fact, unlike other forms of contemporary victimhood, our victimhood is not fact.
Okay, but it's he adds the Rashi is adding a dimension of frame of mind. Shefal shefel ruach. Okay, next pasuk is v'ata. Now anachnu me'ashrim. Now anachnu avad nu v'shamarnu mishmarto. We in the past have served Hashem and guarded His charge. V'ata, and now royim onu harishon matzlichim ad ki me'ashrim onu. Oisom al maaseh risham. So the same thing we said with this Rashi thing is that what have we accomplished? All of these years, all of these, our whole life, we've always done Hashem's mission, and the wicked, and we've failed. We are relative to the goyim. We're not successful, and the wicked, they are very successful. So you know what? We're going to
Sadik
v'ralo. We're going to abandon ship. And we're going to join them, and we're going to praise them for their wickedness, because the wicked succeed. Tzadik v'ralo. Next Rashi, page 900. Gam bochanu elukim loymar nireh mayuchala soislanu. So we're going to challenge Hashem. This Rashi is a loaded Rashi. What is the ultimate challenge of Hashem? The ultimate, when you challenge another person, a human being, how do you challenge them? You challenge them by mocking them. And he Rashi says the essence here. He says, what are you going to do to us, Hashem? We will do whatever we want. Yeah, what are you going to do, Hashem?
And let's see what you're going to do.
Let's see what you can do about it. We have science, technology. There's nothing you can possibly do. We have every possibility we've taken care of. We have all the technology to save ourselves from natural disasters, from poverty, from this, from that. We are secure. We have our health. We have the best health system. Everything we can do. We're not gonna. You can't touch us. Vayimoletu min hora'ah v'loy nichshelu. Any evil you Hashem try to bring upon us, we will dodge. We will be spared, and we will not stumble. This is what is in the mind of every human being to some minute degree. It's an incredible two psukim, the whole sequence of psukim, these little three psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Micha is telling us, this is what Hashem says. This Malachi is telling us in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what is going on in your mind. Can you imagine a Rav getting up and saying this today? they would chase him out of town, before he even opened up his mouth. And Malachi here is saying this in the name of Hashem. This is what the situation is. Now, is Malachi, in the name of Hashem, coming to super duper magnify teeny little minor imperfections? Or is this something which is out in the open? Okay, what would you say? Is it out in the open? So obviously we don't know. No one, we were living in this time. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to all of us throughout the entire history of the world. And obviously the spectrum of these words throughout the Jewish history obviously goes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu super magnifying, teeny, you go look at a tzaddik yisoid olam, a person that's moisir nefesh his whole life to do the ritzayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Are you going to tell me that Hashem is saying to a tzaddik yisoid olam that you say shav avoid elokim umabetza ki shamarnu mishmartu v'chiolachnu kiduranis? Are you going to say that a person who gave up his life in the Holocaust, in Auschwitz, was Moshe Nefesh and died al Kiddush Hashem, you're going to say that this is what he was thinking the very last moment of his life? Chas v'shalom. But yet Malachi is saying this to him also. Malachi, he's only saying this to five people. We're going to go and we're going to do a search and we're going to find five people in the world who Malachi is speaking to. Everyone else is v'ameich kulam tzadikim lo'olam yirshu aretz. No, Malachi is saying this to every single Jew in the world from the beginning of time to the end of time. Hayitachin, such harsh words. So obviously Malachi over here is taking something that the consciousness of a person has no clue of. It's so small, so microscopic, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoyre Lo'oymko Sholdavar, teeny mashu with the biggest, the most powerful microscopes in the world can't even pick this up. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can. You see over here from this, that Chazal were very well aware of, they were psychologists. Way beyond the psychology of today. They use this expression more over and over. They were yoyreid l'soif daitoy shalada. What does that mean exactly? L'soif daitoy shalada. How deep does it really go? You put a person under hypnosis and you go deep into his mind. How deep does it really go? You would tell me every single person you could say this about? Chas v'sholom you would say this about. But yet Malachi is saying it. That you want to go talk to the biggest apikorsim in the world? Okay, the biggest apikorsim in the world. So how many of them are you really gonna find like this today that you can say this out in the open? These obviously,
I like to think that this is the reason the things are being expressed this harshly. Is that he knows that this is going to be the last nevuah
that
Klal Yisrael is going to have.
He's saying things.
So I'm letting you know that this is the end. In other words, no one's going to be talking to you like this ever again.
This is.
And so I got to tell you the facts at the end.
Powerful stuff, Wood says. It's incredible. Let's see the Radak. Radak Pasuk Yud Gimel Chosku.
I don't understand what is the keshel from before.
The Guarti Lachem?
And then Garti Lachem Baruchem, everything will be perfect. And suddenly, it jumps out of the, from where?
So you're right. First of all, we have to acknowledge that we have a Samach. You have to acknowledge, your question stands. I'm not coming, there's a Samach, it's a Parsha Stuma. Now, if it would be a Parsha Psucha, it would be a little bit better. Okay, a Parsha Psucha is a new chapter. A Parsha Stuma is a new paragraph. So we're still continuing. Has there been a stuma until now? The whole sefer? That would make it a little bit better. I'm not so sure that we have had a break until now. Go look back. I think this is the first time we have it's a very short sefer. Until we have a parsha, it's the first break we really had.
Perek Beis
Pasuk Yitzayin. You're right. Parsha Stuma. You're right. Zoshe Bis Tasu. You're right. Okay, I don't know. It's a good question. No, next was Pasuk Yitzayin. Before also. Okay, I don't know. So what is the connection? I don't know. Let's see the Radak. Radak Pasuk Gimel says Chazku Shav Lo Yechicha Mal Mashoch Hayu Oymim Kein Din V'Yein Dayin. Right. It's a samach. It's a parashas tumah. We have a few parashas tumah. There are a few parashas tumahs. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Gimel Chasku Shav Lechichem. Now he's maybe addressing your question, Rav Kalman. He's saying Shav. He's now going off on a new topic. He gave us a pasuk in Aleph, beautiful brachos, and now he's giving the Musa. And the Musa.
Well, it wasn't directly giving brachos. He was saying, if you try it my way,
do it right.
But in Pasuk
Ches, there were some accusations.
And now it's flipped.
He's vacillating. In Pasuk Ches, only a page before, he gave some very harsh musa. You are robbing Hashem.
Maybe he's saying that what you asked me before. Amech Kulum Tzadik. Yes. Yet the Yiddish Tzadid, I'll call Klal Yisrael. Also, so has the Yitzhara talked somebody into doing? Do it. You're fine. Hashem is busy. That's what he means. You know that it affects everybody.
Don't fool yourself.
Yeah.
Don't fool yourself. The Yitzhara never gives up.
Right.
He has a lifetime contract. and a pension. He has a good Yitzhara. He's not going anywhere. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Mitzvah, the Radak, page 899. He says the word Shav. We're now a new topic. He's now going on the Shem Lachim to the Musar Lachim Lachim Al Mashach Yoyemim Ki Ein Din Vein Dain. That's very frightening. When there's no law and there's nowhere to bring a grievance. It's a very, very frightening thing when a person has nowhere.
Just going back on this, he's saying that this now is the answer to the question that we had back in Bayes Yud Zion.
Okay, but why
then? There's a question, and now we went through all the things. This is good, and that's good, we're going to get bleeding, blah, 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 blah. And now he's giving the answer.
Okay, so why didn't he give the answer right away? Why did there have to be a hefsek? Why in Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Bayes we have these brachas that are beyond belief? We had such beautiful, we have Avilas, Pasuk Yud. We have these beautiful brachas, and now all of a sudden,
the brothers are saying, that's part of the question. We were supposed to get all of this.
All right, okay, yeah, I guess we have to. We learn every day only so little, so we don't see the big picture. I guess if we would, you know, review it more comprehensively, we would see there is a pattern. There is a pattern here. I don't know. Okay, fine. Let's see what it says in the Radak. Radak chazku shav lechicham al mashach yoyemim ki ein din ve'ein dayan. Ma nid barnu shav hapoel poul leroiv hasmodas hadibor. V'chein, let's look at the next. V'chein hanidborim b'cha. He's saying the word nid barnu is an intensified form of the word dibor. Ma nid barnu the poel poul dibor. Okay, let me not make believe I understand this, so let's just go further, okay? It is just simply an intensified form of the word which brings out a flavor in the expression, Hashem, how dare you? How dare you make an accusation like this that we say such thing, that Hashem says that you've spoken harshly. So Klal Yisrael responded in almost a violent way. What did we say? The word nidbarnu, the grammatical form, there's a dot in the nun, a dot in the bays, nidbarnu. Somehow, I'm not familiar with these rules, but this is an intensified form of the word to evoke, to bring out in the expression like shock. What? What are you saying, Hashem? I can't believe you would say that you accuse us of such a harsh thing. Next, Pasuk Yudalit, Amartem, Mivorhu, it's self-understood. Woo! Whenever someone, the Mepharshim, one of the Rishonim say that, Mivorhu, really? It's self-understood? I think we could use some help here. Okay, Pasuk Tezvah, maybe it's self-understood for you, not self-understood for us. We need some help. Pasuk Tesvah V'Ata Gam Kein Mivorhu. This also is self-understood. Woo-hoo. Okay, that's pretty tough stuff. Now let's see what it says over here in the Malbin.
Maybe it's that he didn't want to say it.
I guess that's what I was thinking also.
That's what he means.
It's so harsh. Don't get me started. Okay, what the Musar is being sarcastic, you want to say.
Yes.
The Radak is being sarcastic. These words here at the end of Nevi'im is off the charts. You know, on those measuring scale, it's so off the charts. Let's not even go there. Because you're not going to want to hear what I have to say.
That's the worst, right.
Mivar, who you say, it sounds like he's being sarcastic. Like, you don't want to hear what I have to say about this. So just read what it says and think about it, and that's enough. It's so frightening to read these psukim. Let's not go there. You want me to give you a PhD in apikorsis? I mean, these psukim over here. If you want to go to give a course in Princeton on the philosophy of apikorsis, here you go. This is all you need. This is your source material. Next, let's see the Malbim.
By the way, what he says here, it means it's not only once you said it once and that's it, it's over. Nidbanu is keep
repetition.
It's tamid. You always say it.
You always say this. Yeah. So we're accusing Hashem of big, you make with bigger chutzpah. Hashem, this is not the first time you made this accusation against us. You've continuously made this accusation against us. That's a chutzpah to say such a thing. That we respond to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you're always accusing us of bad things, and we do nothing wrong. And just the opposite, Hashem never, we're the ones who are the problem. All right, it's getting worse and worse as we're going along here. Let's go to the Malbim. The Malbim Pasik, Yud Gimel Chasku, Achar. Shehizkir tchila es hasheela sheshoyalim al shavas harishom shayichichui mizesh ein hashkocha mishpat. After we mentioned the question about tzadik v'raloi, that was back in Perek Beis, as you mentioned back in Perek Beis, Perek Beis pasuk yud zayin. The Klal Yisrael is disturbed. Why is it tzaddik ziraloi rasha v'toivloi? One more time. Achar shehizkir tchilas hasheel, the question sheshoilim al shalvas chodeshom, the tranquility of the wicked. Sheichichoi mizeh, she'ein, from this you've proven, this goes back, you've proven that she'ein hashkocho mishpat, there is no din v'dayim. K'moy she'omar, kol oisei roa toiv v'ein Hashem, all those who do evil to Hashem, it appears that Kadosh Baruch Hu is satisfied with. Oh, aye, Elokei Mishpat, v'higi lochem hateshuva al zeh oimer shadayin. Oh, so Rav Kalman is saying very good, because since this is not the first time, since this round is not being repeated, he tells them the answer. Oimer shadayin chosku alay divrechem shalei kibaltem teshuva haniskeres leel. The Jewish people are not satisfied with the answer that I've given you back in the previous parak. V'atem mischaskin b'vikuach l'stor es devarai. You continue to challenge me. Pasuk yudalid amartem shoritzem lemar shehin meshivim shahagam shehatashuva haniskeres el hi teretz al shalvas harashoyim. Even though we've given an answer back in the previous parak, which we gave there basically was just wait, be patient, don't judge Hashem at this moment. Have a little patience and see the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, Hashem is all the time in the world. Hashem will eventually punish the wicked and reward the tzaddikim. That answer was not satisfying to the Jewish people. Adayin yikshem miyisurei tzaddikim. You still are disturbed with the fact that the tzaddikim, they suffer. It's not just that they are victimized. It's that the wicked prosper. It's that the tzaddikim suffer. And they suffer for what appears to be things that they do not deserve. Shloi chotu. They live chayei tzar. So it's one thing when you want to say, see, there's so much explaining of apikorsis here, challenges here, in that it's one thing to say you're dealing with a situation where a wicked person commits a crime, and he gets away with it. He succeeds. Okay? So the wicked person, he got something that he does not deserve, and he gets away with it. As long as there is no victim. The wicked achieves success through breaking the rules. As long as a righteous person has not been a victim and does not suffer, maybe you can convince me, you know what? Hashem has all the time in the world, and eventually the law will catch up with the wicked. Okay, you can tell me to be patient when I witness a Russia succeed, but I don't have any patience acknowledging, witnessing righteous people suffer. That is hard. That you can't tell me time. What time? How is time going to solve the problem? The tzaddik did not deserve what he's, at least in our limited understanding, why he's suffering. So how is being patient going to help me relate to the suffering of the tzaddikim? That's a whole new level of emunah. If you wanted, there are different levels of emunah. A lower level of emunah is, okay, Hashem, I see wicked prosper, I have emunah, eventually the law will catch up with that. But that's not going to help me for dealing with the challenge of watching the righteous suffer. What do you say, Martim? Shav avoid elokim. So here the Radat Malbum is learning what the Mitzudas David, the Malbum came after the Mitzudas David. So the Malbum over here is drawing his interpretation from the Mitzudas David. He breaks up into two parts. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gets nothing out of this, and the person gets nothing out of it. Shein Boto Elus Mitzudas Nevad. The one who does the service that gets the benefit, Shemar Shehashem Reitzeh Bavoyda Zo, the Hud Tzorich Eilecha Shezeh Dvar Shav Ubatel Ki Hashem Ein Tzorich Lavoyda Seinu. Hashem does not need our service. Ve'im Tzvim Tzodakto Ma Titen Li. The Pasuk Me'iv says the same principle. Ve'im Tzodakto. The person is a righteous person, very good. What did you give me? The Pasuk itself says an eel, the Pasuk itself says that the Shabbat gains no benefit out of the service of the person. The Alze Omar, Shav Avoy Elokim. That's what this Pasuk means, that the Shabbat gets no benefit. The Gam Ein Bo To Elis Mitzad Ha'ivet. Furthermore, what benefit does the person get by doing a mitzvah? Shenoimar, Shehashem Tzivohu Ba'avoyda Zo Lo Litzorcho Rak Kedei Shikabu Ha'ivet Alecha Socher. Del Zeh Omar Ma'betzak Yishamanu Mishmarto. We have not received any benefit by doing the mitzvahs. Haloi Lo Hir Vachnu Bo Zeh Mu'uma. Where's the money? Where's the profit? We've done the mitzvahs. We've spent a lot of money on the mitzvahs. Where do we see money? Where's the benefit? What do we get out of this? Ki aloi holachnu kidoranis mibnei Hashem tzivokas lorik yoganu. We've toiled in vain ba'avodoseinu ve'ein lanu sochor kolmu. We got nothing. Ela behepuch. And let's go look over here on the side of the Ber Hamilos. There is no Ber Hamilos. How sad. I wanted to see how he would touch the word. To touch the word kidoranis. He seems to say it means backwards. Ela behepuch. Be'efech, it would appear that the Malachi, that the Malbum is translating the word Kidoiranis backwards. We're going backwards against the trend of the world. Again, the Radak and the Mitzudas David did not translate the word in that fashion. And I'm sorry, the Mitzudas and Rashi. The Mitzudas says Behachno, to bend your head. Rashi says Bishval Ruach. That is not the common translation. The common translation of this pasuk is backwards, and really, that's exactly what the Malbum says. Ella behepech.
But there are other
interpretations,
like the Ma'ari Kara.
So let's see the Ma'ari Kara. Let's see the Ma'ari Kara. We don't normally do this. Let's see pasuk Yudalid. Amartem shav avoid elokim elu harishoyim. Shoyim lashav yigia kolodem shoyim lakadosh baruch hu kidoranis shehayinu. Chashuchim begalus, we are dark. Chashuch,
darkened.
We're in a darkened world. Begalus, we're of tzara.
It comes from blackened. It comes from kedera.
The bottom of the pot. The bottom, you're black, like the bottom you had there. This word appears other places in Tanakh. Like the bottom of the pot, the kedera, yeah. You're black. So far no one said explicitly, except for the Malbum, at least in this interpretation, that it alludes to going backwards. In Rashi and the Mitzudos, they speak about hachno, either the humbling of the spirit or the humbling of the person in the standing of the world. And according to the Ma'ari Kara, he's saying the darkened. We have been blackened. We have been darkened. Whatever. I guess metaphorically.
Dark moon.
Our minds have been darkened, and maybe even our complexion, our we talk about on Tisha B'Av, where Yirmiyah, he met outside Yerushalayim a woman who was dark. She was dirty, she was dark, and when he looked closely, he saw that she was really a beautiful woman. It's only due to the dirt that she has been darkened, but it did not really affect her natural beauty. And here the Malmo is saying the word like we commonly translate, this I'm familiar with, is going backwards. Backwards people. Okay, that's the Malbum. We've done now the next passing of the Malbum, next passing to the Malbum. Yatanachu Nashim Zaidim, Shehem Einam Yegim La Avoides Hashem. The wicked people do not toil in Hashem's service. They've lost nothing. They have been established. They are builders of wickedness. They test Hashem. They challenge Hashem if Hashem can punish them. Powerful stuff. Nothing ever happens to the wicked. The wicked, they get away with murder. Literally, they get away with everything. Okay, so this concludes all of the commentators that we're going through over here. Now, let's look at the... There are no Mamari Chazal either. Okay, so are there? That's it. No more. Now go to the next section. That is a very beautiful pasuk. This really winds down the Sefer. This is really beautiful. Let's just do a little bit. Oz then... Nidberu Yirei Hashem Ish El Re'enu. At that moment in time, what is Oz? This would appear to be a continuation. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us this harsh Musa, Ozen, Nidberu, it's a play on the words. Just like we said before, the word Nidbarnu, Nidberu, there was a conversation. This is in a passive form. We have to see the Mefarshim now, the precise translation, but this is a passive word. Nidberu, Yirei Hashem. Okay, it's not often in Tanakh we have this expression, Yirei Hashem. There's Yiras Elokim, Yiras Hashem, Es. There is, we say Yiras Shemayim, that's the term, I think it's only a rabbinic term, Yiras Shemayim. Oz the Nidbu Yirei Hashem Ish El Reyehu, Vayakshev Hashem Vayishmo. Hashem listened. Vayakshev is a very, it's a word that needs a good translation. Hashem applied himself to listen. There's different types of listenings. You can just listen casually, and then you can listen with intensity. It's an expression which means an intense form of listening, which is a contradiction, because the essence of listening is being passive. There's no activity in listening, theoretically. What is it when you listen? You just sit there, and the sound just comes in. What does it mean to actively be passive? Is there such a thing as actively passive? That's a contradiction. That's an oxymoron. To actively be passive? Well, that's the essence. Yeah.
In Hebrew, there is lishmoa, lahazin, ulahakshiv. There are different things.
Lishmoa, say it. Shmia,
hazana. I hear the car outside, but I don't listen to that. I don't care about that noise. But I need akshiv. What the rabbi is
paying attention. Like I always tell you, my father lived in New Utrecht. He lived mamish right along New Utrecht Avenue his whole life. And what?
It's hearing the trains.
The trains. And when the train goes by, the whole block, I was there not so long ago, the whole block shakes. And that's really good. After they've repaired the tracks and they added new technology to know, and they have better trains today, they don't clunk, you know, the old train. You hear that, the clunking of the trains, and now they make the track smooth. I used to go on the train, I was very fascinated with the train. I used to go on the train with the bus, you alternate the train of the bus, and I was very fascinated with the technology of the trains. And during the years,
they
can't do that anymore. They took away why did they deny the Hana to the Kinderlach? They can go see, why do they have to go take away the Hana? I don't get it. Whatever. I used to go every Sunday when I was a little kid. We used to go every Sunday from the Lower East Side to Borough Park to visit my grandparents. Every Sunday. And it was a treat. It was the biggest treat. We'd go. I remember we were little kids. We'd all go to the very, very front of the platform to get onto the first train.
Mm-hmm.
First car. And we stood there by the window watching. It was such a treat. It was such a treat. The only horror was when we get on, there were some other people already there. Yeah. shove him out. We also want to sit. We also want to watch. Such a fascinating thing. Such the thrill of and the technology has changed quite a bit over the years. But those years, how much noise it makes. The noise is just unbearable. And I remember my father, people, how could you live here? Every time the train goes by, the whole block shakes. So my father says he never heard it. They never heard the train. I have no recollection of hearing the train. Why? You learn to ignore it. You learn to ignore it. So just because there is sound, there is shmia, is passive, it does not mean you actually hear. Vayakshev, there has to be an activity to actively pay attention to what you are hearing. And would you imagine, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is such a principle? You would maybe say this by a person, but by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma. And Hashem listen. What does listening really mean? It means to understand. Shema Yisrael. What does that mean? Listen. It doesn't mean listen. Hearken. The word Shema is an expression of understanding. A depth of what? Toshma. Come and understand. Toshma. Yesterday we had a shiur. Yesterday we learned in the afternoon tefillah on Thursday night we learned tefillah. So we learned the Shemona Esrei, and we created a parallel between the first. In the middle of Shemona Esrei, there are 12 blessings, excluding V'lamal Shinim, which was added late. There are 12 blessings. And we tried to show that the 12 blessings, it's really 6 and 6. It's 6 and 6. The first 6 blessings directly correspond to the last 6 blessings. What is the first blessing of the middle 12 blessings? Chonei Das. Choneinu mi'itucha Deya Bina the Haskel. What is the corresponding, the seventh blessing, the corresponding blessing to the first blessing? It is Teka b'shoifar gadol l'cheruseinu. Blow the shoifar. How does blowing of the shoifar, of the coming of Mashiach, correspond to Das? What is Deya Bina V'Haskel correspond to? Teka b'shoifar gadol l'cheruseinu. So very simply, it corresponds because what's going to happen when Mashiach will come? Umala kol ha'aretz Deya es Hashem. Okay, that's so. Therefore, this is unbelievable. It's a correspond, but it's more than that. What does the bracha begin? Blow the shoifar. Teka b'shoifar God. Why is the coming of Mashiach going to begin with the sound of the shoifar? It's a sound. What's the purpose of the sound? The purpose of the sound is to listen. But when you listen, you're not really listening. It's not just to listen. Listening is comprehension. Shema. On a very simple level, means listen, Shema Yisrael. I want to make an announcement. Turn on the PA system. Is everyone paying attention? Everyone sit down. I want to make an announcement. You're going to get out early from school today. Dismissal is going to be at this point. Listen, Shema Yisrael. I want to tell you some information. I have some news to tell you. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Is that how you say Shema Yisrael every single day? Listen, Jewish people, I have an announcement to make. Hopefully, I mean, maybe in kindergarten, but as a person matures, you come to realize the word Shema doesn't just mean listen. Shema means hearken, which means comprehend. Not just a superficial comprehension, a deep comprehension. So the shofar, blowing of the shofar, is just a trigger to appreciate the word listen. Shema, what is listening? Listening, Shema Yisrael, is the full scope of Deya Bina V'Haskel. Umala kol ha'aretz Deya es Hashem. The goal of Mashiach is Umala kol ha'aretz Deya es Hashem. The full scope of Das is the word Shema. Shema Yisrael. Therefore, the coming of Mashiach is through a sound. To listen. Listening triggers a deeper appreciation of comprehension of what is now happening. Hashem has arrived. Umolo kolor etzdeyas Hashem. It's the Shema Yisrael. That's why you blow the shofar. You blow the shofar to illustrate, to magnify the words Shema Yisrael. What are we doing on Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, you blow shofar. What is Rosh Hashanah? It's part one of the brachos of Malchus. Shema Yisrael, it's one of the 10 blessings, the last of the 10 of Malchus. Shema Yisrael, Shem Elohim, Hashem Echad. What is the purpose of blowing the shofar? To be Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to be Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu by blowing the shofar in this annoying sound. This, if you, someone blow shofar in the middle of the night, you would call the police. It's an annoying sound. If someone would start playing a classical music in the middle of the night, so some people would get up and would go and enjoy the music. But someone blows a shofar in the middle of the night, you call the police. What's this? How you mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We should play classical music. We should have some compositions. The answer is, when you blow in the shofar, you are just, it's a multimedia presentation of Shema Yisrael. Listen. There's a sound. Listen. Oh, listen. What does listen really mean? Comprehend. Understand. Let it penetrate this reality that indeed Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is the Melech. Teka b'shoifer gadol, l'cheir ishma Yisrael, corresponds to ato choinein le'odam das umolame le'eno ishbina. The first six correspond to the second six. So here as well, we have over here a listening. When Hashem listens, it means Hashem doesn't just listen. Hashem gets it. He has a full comprehension of what's taking place in this world. And he writes what the Yirei Hashem is, what they're doing. He puts into writing, Sefer, a book, Zikaroin, Lefonov, Liyirei Hashem, to those that fear Hashem, ulochoy shvei Shema.
Why didn't say Shema before Vayakshem? According to all this.
Vayakshem means Shema. Okay, we have to analyze the structure of this pasuk. Okay, we're really out of time, so we're going to stop over here. And if Yirtzeh Hashem, on Monday, we will review and continue to finish up. I already ordered
the pillow. Today's the yard side of the rush.
I don't care now, we're going to be doing this more than a week, Yirtzeh Hashem, and I ordered Tehillim. So soon, we're going to be starting Tehillim. Not more than a week, less than a week. From the very beginning, we're going to do. I order this edition. We're not going to do like we did this. We're going to do it much faster.
Right.
We're not going to read every single word. I planned. I don't know how it's going to go. I have to take a lot of time to prepare. But I don't plan on spending more than a day or two on each mizmar. Whatever we do, we do. And whatever we don't do, the next day, on to the next mizmar. Probably, but within a week, by the end of next week, or the latest by next Monday. And we have to eventually make a scene. We have to make a very big scene. There's no small matter to spend 2-3 years learning Treyasa. No Klinikite. We learned this mostly during Corona. You know, it's not no Klinikite. This tremendous simcha. And Tehillah, we're going to do different. We'll see how it goes. All right, I'll take a short break. We'll do some chumash in a few moments. Yes.